Okay, this year is preparing for something to say at the Seder. I'd like to begin with something that we spoke about 20 years ago on Pesach. And it's based on the, actually it's the first mitzvah that we do once the Seder begins, after Kiddush, of course, which is something we do every Yontif and every Shabbos night, Leil Shabbos and Leil Yontif. But after Kiddush, the first thing that we do is Karpatz. And those of you who may remember, anybody wants to unmute themselves is welcome to do so by pressing, I think, *6. You can unmute yourself if you have a question. The there was a Yid who I was introduced to by Dr. Yuri Gordon. His name was Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. Paul Frankel also told me about him. And he was a Rav in England. He gave Gevaldik Yeshurim. Gevaldik Yeshurim. There's still many tapes out from him. And he quotes Rabbeinu Manoach. And Rabbeinu Manoach says that Karpas, which again is the beginning of the Seder, is connected to Ksainis Pasim. Ksainis Pasim. And this is the Rashi. Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, when the Torah mentions the Ksainis Pasim that Yaakov Avinu gave to Yosef HaTzadik. So the words in Rashi are on Ksainis Pasim, Loshen Kli, Milas, it's a type of cloth, Kemoi Karpas Utrelis. Like Karpas and Trelis, that's what Rashi says. What does it mean, Kemoi Karpas Utrelis? So that's referring to a pasuk in the Megillah, where it says, Chur Karpas Utrelis. These were the draperies that were hanging in the hall that everybody came into in Achashverosh's Suda. So Chur Karpas and Trelis. The word Karpas, which means cotton, some type of refined cotton, is what the Ksainis Pasim was made out of. Now, I have written in my notes, I checked the computer then 20 years ago, and the word Karpas does not appear anywhere in all of Tanakh, except for that pasuk in the Megillah of Karpas and Trelis. And the word Karpas does not appear anywhere in Rashi, in all of Chumash, except there in Parshas Vayeshev. So there's some type of shaifas between Karpas and the Ksainis Pasim that Yaakov gave Yosef. What is that? What is that? I'd like to talk about that. The it's kind of an incredible thing that Klal Yisrael, that came into this Karpas at the Suda of Achashverosh. The beginning of the Shibud of Klal Yisrael, the first step that led us to Golas Mitzrayim, where you read this Mitzrayim, was done through Mechiras Yosef. And Mechiras Yosef was done with Karpas. Mechiras Yosef was done with Karpas. So what is this? What is this connection here? Number one. Number two, what did they do with the Karpas? Meaning, what did they do with the Ksainis Pasim? They dipped it. They dipped it into blood. A tibul. So says Rabbeinu Manoach, or says Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, based off the Rabbeinu Manoach, that our minig is to begin the Seder with Karpas. And we dip the Karpas. We don't dip it into Dam, obviously, but we dip the Karpas to remind us that Golus began by dipping Karpas. They dipped Yosef's Ksainis Pasim. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That's why we begin the Seder that way. Even though L'chayru, one should say the first thing we should do after Kiddush is Yachatz, break the matzah. We want to start off the Seder with this issue of Yosef. Tibul, to remind us of that story. Now, you can also add that this word Karpas, as we just said, is in the Megillah. And we all know, of course, there's a Shaychus and the father and son share tonight. We all know the Shaychus between Purim and Pesach. So the beginning of the Gzeirah was done in Purim because of Nenem Mesudas Achashverosh. And we begin by explaining that the Mesudas Achashverosh was something called Karpas. So the Kloya, Rachmana Litzlan, that started for Klal Yisrael at this story of Purim, was with Karpas. The Karpas reminds us, or is Meramis to us, for the Golos and the problems and the punishment, if you want, Bein by Pesach and Bein by Purim. There is a very scary thought. This thought comes from Rav Yochanan Wasserman. He writes this in his famous Sefer Kovetz Mamorim. And he says that, why is it throughout the Deiritz, only an Adam Gadol Yisrael can ask this question, give a teretz for it, and give it with validity. Why is it that throughout the blood libels, in all the generations, we have this fantastically false story that the Goyim claim that we make matzah with blood? Where did it come from? So Rabbi Chanan says it's a punishment because of Bechiras Yosef. The Shvatim lied. What an unbelievable thing to say for Rabbi Chanan. The Shvatim lied. Binogei Adam. They used blood and they said it was Yosef's blood. And Mida Kineged Mida in all the future Daira, says Rabbi Chanan. There's this Indian of Sheker. Kineged Klal Yisrael with Dam. What an unbelievable thing. Now, the word karpas is not a Hebrew word. It's not in Lashon HaKodesh. And we know the karpas, when it's in the Mishnah, refers to a vegetable, which is, of course, what we refer to on Seder night. We call it karpas. So this word of karpas, although it's not from Lashon HaKodesh, it's from Lashon Yavan. Nevertheless, Chazal Darshan, it's not a Hebrew word. Chazal Darshan, we all know, it's from the Rishonim. Samuch Perach, 600,000 people were enslaved. So once a word is taken into our language, even though the word was presently used in the Greek language, we incorporate this word like we incorporate all the names of the months. Names of the months are not Hebrew. Names of the months come from Paras, and we include them. We include them, and we darshan them. So therefore it comes out that we start off that the first Golus Mitzrayim is Mechiras Yosef. And that took us down to Mitzrayim. And then we have the punishment by Purim is also from Karpas. They both have this issue of Karpas. Yaakov Weil, at the Shalom Zachar of his son, on the first night of Chalamoid, told me, I have this written down, in my notebook, from the Haggadah of somebody named Rabbi Yaakov Well, who brings from the Aruch HaShulchan, that Chad Gadya is referring to the Mechira of Yosef. Chad Gadya, there was a Gadya, Gedi, Shezoven Abba betray Zuzay, that Yosef was sold for 20 Zuzim. Each one of the brothers took two of those 20 Zuzim. And with that, they bought the Gedi. And we all know what happened to Gedi. They shechted, they took the dam. It comes out that the beginning of the Seder and the end of the Seder are both referring to this concept of Yosef and the Mechira, which took us down to Golos. And we know, historically, that it was really never settled. The 10 Shvatim split off into 2 Shvatim. That's called the 10 Shvatim of Yosef, and it was never really settled. There was never peace between the brothers. Why it split 10 and 12 is not for now, but those 10 Shvatim, Yeseres HaShvatim, are led by Ephraim, Yosef, and the split was never really healed. The beginning of the Seder is Karpas, the end of the Seder is Chad Gadya, and they're both referring to the Mechira of Yosef. What an unbelievable concept. Okay, now, over Shabbos, I was preparing, and I looked through my notes in a different notebook. This notebook that I'm reading to you is a notebook on Pesach. Now I want to read to you in a notebook I have on Purim. And this took place Purim last year. And tonight is really Monday night. We normally learn Sanhedrin the Monday night shiur. But tonight, I want to learn something which came about a little bit because of the Sanhedrin shiur and other shiurim in shul. But I like to put it together. In this week's parsha, past week, Vayakel Pekudei, also mentioned in Kisisa, Truma Tetzava, the person who was Zoiche to build the Mishkan was Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Again, if anybody wants to talk, all they have to do is press the *6 button and they're welcome to ask anything they want. Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur is the one who built the Mishkan. Who is Chur, Rabbi Say? Who is Chur? So Rashi says several times in Chumash, this is something that was first brought to my attention by my dear friend in Chavrusa, Rabbi Dr. Jerry Loeb, who says that Rashi mentioned several times in Chumash, Chur was the son of Miriam, Vekolev Bala, and Kolev was her husband. Very unusual statement, asked my dear Chavrusa and friend, Rabbi Dr. Jerry Loeb. Well, what does it mean? Chur was the son of Miriam, and her husband was Kolev. Say, Chur was the son of Kolev and Miriam. Chur was the son of Miriam, and her husband was Kolev. Well, what is that about? So let's try now to put something together over here. There was a family of three: Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Shekhinah down for the Mishkan. We all know that. Aaron HaKohen did the Avodah in the Mishkan. We all know that. Who built the Mishkan? Betzalel. Who was Betzalel? Betzalel was the grandson of Chur. Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Who was Chur? The son of Miriam. Says my dear friend, Chur was the Zohar manifestation of Miriam. And we all know, at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, first time we have a Bez Din in Klal Yisrael. Who was the three people who went to fight Amalek? As the Pasuk says, at the end of B'Shalach, he chose Yeshua to be down there fighting. But we all know that it was Moshe, Aaron, and Chur. It was Aaron and Chur. Chur was who? The son of Miriam. Much younger than Moshe and Aaron. But he was again the Zohar manifestation, or the Zohar Shliach, the Zohar representative of Miriam. And it was these three people, Moshe, Aaron, and Betzalel, the grandson of Chur, who were responsible for the Mishkan. Moshe bringing down the Shekhinah, Aaron doing the Avodah, and Betzalel building it. Why wasn't Chur involved in building the Mishkan, Rabbi Say? What's the answer to that? Anybody know the answer? You all know the answer. I'm going to unmute everybody because I don't like not being able to hear and talk to people. Okay, I need you to press *6, somebody, to unmute yourself if you can. I'll try it one more time. Can everybody hear me now? A live stream is not working? Okay, so the reason why Chur could not, that's what, Chur obviously was killed. And therefore, Betzalel, I don't know why Uri was not the person who was chosen. Betzalel was chosen over Uri, and they represented Chur, which represented Miriam. Nice to hear everybody's voices. Okay, now, I want to say something here, Rabbi Say. I want to hear something. I'd like to say something. Rabbi Levinson Shlita told me an unbelievable thing. Can you hear me? Okay. Okay. I hope everybody can hear me now. One second, please. Hello? Hello? I don't know what's going on. It says to mute everybody. I can't understand. Okay, I'm going to try to unmute. Let me see what happens. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay, Mark, you can hear me? Shmuley, can you hear me? Okay, I'm going to call everybody. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to call everybody back. I apologize to everybody for this inconvenience here. Okay, can everybody hear me now? Okay, I'm very sorry. Live stream is not working? Okay, it shows me in front of me that it's working. I don't know why it's never working for you. Okay, we'll try it now and see if it works now. You'll let me know in half a minute if it's working now. I turned it off and turned it on. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. Everything is kind of challenging. Okay. Let's continue then. I'll try to bring everybody up to speed. You'll let me know if the live stream comes on again. Okay. So, Aaron, Moshe and Hur are the three siblings. Hur is the one who represents Miriam. Moshe brought down the Shekhinah. Aaron is the one who worked in the Mishkan. And Bezalel, the grandson of Hur, is the one who built the Mishkan. Okay, can everybody hear me who's on the phone? Good, okay, fine. You let me know if the live stream is coming up then at any time. Okay, now, so what I'd like to say now is the following. Rabbi Levinson told me a beautiful thought. It's not his own thought, but he didn't remember which sefer he saw it in. Listen to this thought, please, Rabbi Say. When Aaron HaKohen, whoever is listening is fine, but I'm sorry, the background noise just disturbs everybody. I if you want to do anything while you're listening, it's fine, but you should mute your own phone by pressing *6. I'm not going to mute it anymore. Listen to this, please. Aaron HaKohen was not allowed to walk into the Kodesh Kedoshim with gold. Why not? Why couldn't he walk in with gold in Yom Kippur? What's the reason why? Because of the eagle. Ein kategen nasas hanegel. How is it possible that Aaron HaKohen could not walk in with gold and the entire Kodesh Kedoshim was full of gold? The Aron was made out of gold. The Kruvim was made out of gold. The Krushim were covered in gold. There was gold everywhere. So what does it mean Aaron HaKohen couldn't come in with gold? What's the pshat? Zok Rabbi Levinson, listen to this pshat. Aaron HaKohen to walk in with gold garments couldn't do it because Aaron HaKohen represented the Egel Rachman al-Islan. Because as we all know, he couldn't stop Klal Yisrael and he bore some of the responsibility for Klal Yisrael making the Egel. Chor was Maisa Nefesh. Chor was Maisa Nefesh. And that mysterious Nefesh is what allowed Klal Yisrael to survive. Chor,
The rest of the gold that's inside the Kodesh Kadoshim that was built by Chor's grandson. Chor is the one who tried to stop the eagle. That gold was allowed to stay. Beautiful thought. Beautiful thought. Beautiful. Okay. Now I have a question for you. My question is like this. The same pasuk in the Megillah says, anybody remember? Karpas and Tchelos were the draperies that were hanging. What's the word before Karpas in the Megillah? Anybody know? Chor. Chor, Karpas, and Tchelos. What does the word Chor have to do with the Megillah? What is Chor doing here? What's it doing here with a big ches? Chor is there with a big ches. What is that about? What is that about? Listen to this. Listen to this. Chor, Karpas, and Tchelos. Chor, Rabbi said, there's one couple that's listening, but they're talking while they're, whatever they're doing while they're listening. So they have to either turn off the phone or please stop talking. Okay. I don't know what to do with this technology. It doesn't work. Okay. Chor, Karpas, and Tchelos. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Rabbi Cohen, Shmuley, are you on the phone? I'm going to try to hit *5. If I mute everybody and nobody can hear me, call me immediately, please. Can everybody hear me? Okay, good. Okay, everything's muted then, fine. Okay, not everybody's muted. Okay, Shmuley, you don't have to call me. Okay, fine. Okay, let's continue. Now, we have Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam. We have Chor. We have Chor in the Megillah. What is this about? Listen to this. Zochar Matisyahu Solomon, an unbelievable thing based off the Menasseh Halevi, one of the Gedolei Achronim, says the Menasseh Halevi, in Achashverosh's party, there were beautiful sights, the chush of the eye, the chush of the eye. There was beautiful food, the chush of the mouth, drinking. There were beautiful fragrances from the garden, the chush of smelling. There were also beautiful chairs that they sat on, the chush of touching. However, there was no music at Paro at Achashverosh's party. No music. Says the Menasseh Halevi in the Beis HaMikdash, there was the chush of touching. An incredible thing, the chush of touching. You touched the dam when you threw it. The Kohanim's feet touched the floor. There was a chush of eating. You had to eat in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a chush of drinking. The Kohanim ate in the Beis HaMikdash. They drank in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a chush of seeing the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. There was also the chush of Shmiah. How come by Achashverosh's party there was no chush of Shmiah? No music. And in the Beis HaMikdash was music and it was singing. Said Achashverosh, he was afraid. What was he afraid of? He was afraid that music is so subtle and so pure, it has the ability to inspire people. He was afraid the Jews would be inspired, they would do tshuva, and they would go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't want them to do tshuva, he wanted them to be sucked into the Avera, so there was no chush of Shmiah. In the Beis HaMikdash, of course, we were inspired. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was all five chushim. The incredible understanding of the subtleties of Achashverosh. As we said many times over the years, this Goy understood exactly where Klal Yisrael was. He understood exactly what he wanted to do to Klal Yisrael. I'd like to suggest, Rabbi Yisrael, the Hashgacha Pratis was This was not known to Achashverosh. Achashverosh hung up beautiful curtains. He hung up incredible curtains. Unbeknownst to him, the curtains that he hung up were Chur and Karpas and Tchelas. Chur, which means white. Karpas, which is cotton. Tchelas, which is blue. They were the last warning sign for Klal Yisrael. Don't go in. Don't go in. Chur is the symbol of someone who tried to stop us by the Chet HaEgel. Karpas is the symbol of Golus that happened with Yosef. And Tchelas is the way to get out of the issue by remembering that Tchelas is Daimel Yam and the Yam is Daimel Rekia. Those three colors, those three materials, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them up to help save us. That's how we walked into the party of Achashverosh. He wanted them to save us. To save us. It didn't work at that time. It didn't work. Chur and Karpas and Tchelas did not save us. It's an unbelievable thing. It didn't save us. He wanted it to save us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to save us. He wanted to give us a chance. It didn't save us. It didn't save us. What I just said right now, if Reb Daniel's still on the phone, I have written down in my notes from Yedidi Reb Daniel Alchel about this concept of putting these things together. Chur, Karpas, and Tchelas, these colors. I do not know why. I have it right here in my notes. Reb Daniel Alchel, Yedidi Reb Daniel Alchel, right here. And then I want to tell you something else, Rabbi Say. Klal Yisrael is going to begin. We're holding right now. Adar Nissen. It's unbelievable. Haliteini nom and Adam Adam Azeh. Give me from that red soup. Zokta Balaturim, the Rosh Yetevas of Haliteini nom min, or Rosh Yetevas Haman. Haman, what's Haman doing in the middle of this maisa of buying the bechor that Yaakov bought from Esav? What does it mean? Zokta Balaturim. Just like Esav sold his bechor for some lentil soup, his great-grandson Haman also sold himself for bread to Mordechai. The essence of the people who tried to destroy Klal Yisrael is they're involved in Gashmias. And we're involved in Ruchnias. And Achashverosh wanted to suck them into Gashmias. Unbelievable. Now, I don't know. I haven't been able to do any research. I haven't had time, Baruch Hashem. I've been extremely busy with this whole matzav that we're in. I don't know. I once saw something about it. I do not know. The colors of blue and white have some representation in Klal Yisrael. And I don't know if that's what was taken to color the flag of the state of Israel, if they used that from some type of Kabbalah from the Zohar. I don't know. I once heard something about it. If anybody can find anything about it, I would greatly appreciate it. Rabbi Sayyid, there's another pasuk in the Megillah. Tell me the pasuk in the Megillah that once again mentions Chur and Tchelas. Anybody know the pasuk? Oh, Mordechai Yotza. What does it say? Mordechai Yotza milifnei haMelech b'levush Malchus Tchelas v'Chur. There's no Karpas here. It's Tchelas v'Chur, and it's in the opposite order. The first time was Chur and Tchelas. Now it's Tchelas v'Chur. I like to say because Karpas represents Golus, and at this juncture right now, Golus was over. We're going into Gulus. The Karpas is not there. Karpas is not there. Tchelas represents the blue, Daimel Yam, Yam Daimel Rekia. It's the blue and the white. It's not the white and the blue. It's not Chur first, which represents the symbol that we shouldn't make a mistake. Here is the representation of the blue and white together, which helps Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's in a different order. We start the Seder with Karpas. That represents Golos. Golos. I'd like to mention one more thing. The Pasuk says, Re'ei. Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Re'ei means stop and look. And the Ramban says that Re'ei means stop and look because how could it be that Betzalel, who just got out of slavery and his fingers were coarse, says the Ramban, he was able to be a silversmith and a goldsmith and a coppersmith. You need very delicate fingers to do that type of work. Re'ei means look at this nest. So many years ago, I once wanted to add an amazing thing. Re'ei, look at this. Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Rabbi Sai, how old was Betzalel when he built the Mishkan? Anybody know? 13. Excellent. Betzalel was 13 years old. Wonderful. Who was Betzalel's father? Uri. Who was his grandfather? Chur. Who was his great-grandfather? Kalev. How old was Kalev when they left Mitzrayim? He was 38 years old. Kalev was 38 years old. How did he have a great-grandson 13 years old? Zokta Gemara and Sanhedrin. Zokta Gemara and Sanhedrin. That Uri fathered a child when he was 7 or 8. Chur fathered a child when he was 7 or 8. And that's why Betzalel became 13 when Kalev was only 38 years old. Who did Kalev marry? Who did Kalev marry? Miriam. If Kalev was 38 years old when they left Mitzrayim, how old was Miriam when they left Mitzrayim? 86. Miriam was 58 years older than Kalev. 58 years older than Kalev. Re'ei, look at this wonder. It's incredible. Miriam married Kalev. They had a child. They had a child. And the ikkar of the marriage, so to speak, based on what Rabbi Loeb said, based on Rashi, the ikkar was Chur was Miriam's child. Kalev was the husband. They had a child, Chur. Chur had a child named Uri. Uri had a child named Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur. Unbelievable. What a Pella. A 13-year-old boy whose great-grandfather was 38 years old and his grandfather was killed building the Egel. He's the one who built the Mishkan. Answer is yes. Because by Klal Yisrael, we're full of Nisim. We're full of Nisim. All the time. All the time, we're full of Nisim. Puts up a sign. Chur, Karpas, and Tcheles. Klal Yisrael can make it under all circumstances. We can make it under all circumstances. We start at the Seder with Karpas. Karpas represents Yosef. Karpas represents what happened by Purim. But we got out of both of them. We got out of both of them. And this week is the time. This week right now is the time. We sit down by the Seder, B'nissen Nigalu, B'nissen Asidin Ligoyel, is the culmination of Adar and Nissen, says Rashi. What an incredible concept. What an incredible concept. We should be zeich when we sit down for the Seder to think. Historically, we had a Jew named Chur. Historically, we had a Jew named Yosef. Historically, we had a Jew named Mordechai. And all of them went through so many difficulties. And all of them brought us to where we are right now. They got us Pesach, even though it went with such pain. Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim. Everybody in Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. And then we got out of Mitzrayim. And then we got out of Mitzrayim and we went into the Midbar. And we had our Sinai. And then we had the Egel. And then we had Chur. And then we had Aaron. And then we had the Mishkan. It's incredible. And even though we're not where we want to be in Eretz Yisrael. But that's how we end the Seder. L'shona haba b'Yerushalayim.
Okay, I can't leave it without connecting it. Maybe for this Shabbos we should be out of our homes already. We should have our own personal gula, and we shouldn't have this gulas any longer, of everybody being in their own home and everybody being locked away. We should be zeicha to be able to get out of our homes. I'm sure many people heard this already. I think somebody on the phone, even maybe Mark Steinberg, I don't remember who mentioned it to me. Somebody mentioned it to me. Leil Pesach, maybe it was my son, Reb Shmuley, that Leil Pesach in the Torah, we're all locked in our homes, we can't get out. And there's a mashkes outside that's destroying everything. And then the mashkes stops, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes us all out. Bez Hashem Yisbarach, we should be zeicha. We should be zeicha. Klal Yisrael is incredible. We persevered through all the things that they tried to do to us. We persevered through the blood libels and everything else that happened to us. We persevered. We'll persevere through this Nisayan, and Bez Hashem Yisbarach, it will bring us to the Leil Geula of Benissa Nigalu, Benissa Asin Ligoyal, to the Leil Seder, which ends with the culmination of the Shana Abba Birshalayim. And at that moment, when Yosef and Yehuda and the Asaras HaShvatim will come back, and we'll all be together, Be'ez Hashem, B'mheira V'yameinu. We should all be Zeicha, Rabbi Isai. We should all be Zeicha to prepare for the Seder. To prepare for the Seder. This year it's a little more challenging, but in certain ways we have the milah of being home to prepare. Prepare for it. Get our children involved in preparing for it. We should all be Zeicha to be Matzliach. Thank you all very much. Hatzlocha, Rabbi. I'm sorry for all the disruptions with the technology. Take care, Rabbi Simon.